No,
she's one. Okay.
I don't understand doubt and how it relates to the cloud and free will. You can't get there.
The scriptures are clear about how a believer should conduct his life. The path of Israel from Egypt to the promise is there for a reason, and it's there to show us what our path should be and how it should, how one would conduct themselves. And so everybody go to, we're discussing the illusion of free will. And so, and I've always said that a believer never makes a decision. If you do, then you're falling into the trap of thinking you have some control. So everybody go to Numbers 9. Now, this only applies to people who've said, I'm yours without condition, Father. You understand? And the reason was simple here. In verse 15, on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. Now, we are now called the tabernacle. We are the house, we are the temple of God. We are the tabernacle of God. We are the tent of the testimony. At even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until morning. It wasn't fire, it was the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Are rested. Now, you got to hear this. If something is repeated in the scriptures, you know, twice in the same section, it's really important. Watch how many times this is repeated. At the commandment, in verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And that cloud then is called the commandment of the Lord. And that cloud in us is doubt. That's the manifestation. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening until morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So you never, ever, if you have to make a choice between two or more things, you wait, you do nothing, no matter what it seems like to anyone else. Because this is the test of faith, waiting, so that finally it's proven to you that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you. Because if you don't know he is in you, you can't possibly repent. All you can do is say you're sorry. And that's not repentance. That's the repentance of the world. Now, this, for as far as I can remember, this is the way I've lived my life now for 38 years. If there's doubt, I do nothing. No matter what it seems. It seems crazy to the world. It makes you seem crazy to your mind. But when you have doubt, when there's more, and doubt just means you have more than one option. You wait.
Yeah. Amen.
Does anybody understand?
We do. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the biggest trial of that was when our son was so mentally messed up and we were praying every day what we should do. And, you know, Oliab told us you don't do anything unless you, because we were just torn this way and that way. Do we do this? Do we do that? And ultimately, suicide, and if I hadn't waited, but, you know, we don't feel that way. We have peace about it, and I think it's because...
Yeah, that was a perfect test.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I bet you, you know that you know that you know more than you ever did.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to consider his life has turned out to be, and death, a blessing for us, I guess.
And it probably is a blessing for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The odds are high that it is. Mm-hmm. John, what are you doing?
Listening.
No response?
No.
Okay.
I have a comment, a question, just in general, not specific to your son. How can a suicide be a blessing? Because my thinking and teaching is that's the ultimate blasphemy
to
God. Okay. Is because if you can't trust in God and you give up on God, well, then you are...
Are you?
It's like a blasphemy to God.
Okay, you ready to have your mind blown?
Go
to 1 Peter,
chapter. Why not?
Well, it only takes part of it.
Yeah, really. That's not hard to do, right?
First
all
Peter.
Right, Peter, and I'm sorry, I'm embarrassed.
Back toward the back,
Peter,
toward
okay.
Revelation.
Even though I got the tabs.
About,
all right, here's Peter, verse
74.
Peter.
What? You've got tabs?
Verse 74. You got tabs in your wonder where Peter is?
Yeah, right. Well, sorry. You're teasing as I am.
Yeah.
Is it after Revelation?
No, it's before Revelation.
Sorry.
It's
Revelation.
Go
to Revelation and take some pages.
You're going to Revelation.
After
it's
James.
The last book.
Okay, it must be right after James. All right.
Yeah. James, 1 Peter, chapter 4. Verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick or the living and the dead? For this cause was, because there is no time in eternity, is. For this cause is the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
Now how does somebody, they're judged...
Now what is this?
Did you read that again or explain that to me? How does somebody, when they're dead, oh, because their spirit lives.
Well, their soul.
Their soul lives.
The eunuch lives for a time, and that's when he's preaching. If he was preaching, he is preaching.
So you're saying that after somebody, if they commit an act of voluntary suicide,
and I don't care if they're a mass murderer.
Okay, or whatever. And you're not a Christian, as
there's nothing
we know
to do
accepted,
with it.
You still have an opportunity to hear the gospel?
That's what it says. You want to hear it again? Go to go to chapter 3 of 1 Peter.
Where were we? I'm confused now. Where are we?
I'm on chapter 3.
Where were
we? Now we're in chapter 3 of 1 Peter.
We were in 4.
That's we were in 4.
Okay.
4, verse 5 and 6. Okay, now we're 2.
For Christ also hath once, verse 18.
Well,
3:18.
Okay.
For Christ also once suffered for sin, for the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is 8 souls, were saved. He's preaching unto the spirits in prison. And again, because in eternity there's no time, Christ died at the... All men die at the moment that Christ died.
Whether they were born or not.
It doesn't matter. That's because death is your leaving of time and space. All men die at the same instant. That's what the scriptures say. The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge. And if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now, you got to get rid of this idea. Go to Romans 10.
What verse was it in 4?
5.
Verse 5. 5 and 6. Romans 10.
Verse
6. Everybody there?
Yep.
But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up. That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh. Nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is already in you. This is accepting Jesus as your personal Savior is nowhere in the Bible. Making a decision for Christ is nowhere in the Bible. If you still have enough strength to make a decision, you're going to choose the wrong Christ.
That goes back to free will. If you have the free will to choose, you choose yourself.
Yep.
That's why all of the modern Christianity is about self-realization in the name of God. It's just sick. And there's a whole lot of pastors that are leading us, the flock astray. The flock's probably okay, but the pastors that are doing it are in deep doo-doo. It's none of our business who's saved or who's redeemed. Or it's apostasy even to ask that question of somebody. And it's especially evil to ask to point it out about other people. Say not even in your heart. If you don't say it in your heart, you certainly can't say it with your mouth. Amen. Does that make sense?
Now that I hear it for the first time.
Yeah, my question is, why is this now the first time you've heard it? Is why you say that every time you come here?
Because I've never heard any of this.
Did you read it in the Bible?
It's right here. Well, no, I don't even know the books of the Bible. I don't read the Bible. Well, listen to First Baptist Church and go there and I know what they're telling me.
The problem with American Christianity is they're spiritual infants.
Well, I told you that when I walked through the door.
Because they're... I mean, they don't. The scriptures, the only time people were commended in the Bible is the people of Berea. It says they searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul had taught them were true.
And they were.
And so there was a witness in themselves, and then the Spirit, and the hope, then the Word was a witness. And then the way the body lived was a witness. Nobody. If I didn't live what I preach, no one should pay any attention to me. And yet these guys are living in... No, don't get me started. I'm just worried about us, not them.
Well, I'm confused because you say these things, which is so different from my frame of reference, okay? The same Bible, the King James, the Americans, what, it's the Word, okay? And then...
No, it's not the Word.
It's words about the Word.
The Word of God is Jesus Christ. The Bible is words about the Word.
Well, that I've heard for the first time here, and I agree with that. It's just confusing to me that it's like, I don't know how to even put it, the words in the context. It's like, you know, you're at a clock. Here's 12 noon, and this is the work. This is what you've been taught. And then you're like over here, 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever. You're about like this many degrees off from what I've always been taught and preached. And
the same is true for everyone in here.
And I understand Constantine changed everything.
Not just Constantine.
Well, over the centuries, it's been changed. And then, yet, on the other hand, you say, God's in charge. Well, God's in charge, okay. Well, why did all this happen?
To test whether or not you believe.
How can be the millions of people that believe in this, this
do you want to find
teaching, but then yet, these over here cling to the true gospel.
Wise.
Have you ever heard a preacher that didn't think he had the same the true gospel?
Well, but so do the Muslims.
Well, exactly. Like the Church of Christ, whatever.
That's why it's
all
none of our business.
Christianity.
That's why it's none of our business who has or who doesn't have the truth. I believe, therefore I speak. Whether you pay attention to me is not my business. Yeah. I'm certainly not trying to convince you.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, How is it all these sermons are taken out of the same book?
They're not. Watch. They copy each other and have for centuries. There's books written on sermons, and they read them. So once apostasy starts, and it starts for self-realization, it spreads like wildfire, because that's what man wants.
Okay, and so basically you're kind of saying that it's almost like, on a thin level, that it's like spiritual plagiarism.
Oh,
they taught this, they taught, okay, we're wrong on this, and this is basically gone by the wayside, except for the text, the scriptures, that support this.
Half scriptures. Yeah.
They take half scriptures and do anything with them. But I tell you what, no, listen.
Well, I got to tell you, the Mormons have done the same thing. They have incorporated this with the Book of Mormon.
And so did the Muslims. The Muslims, they got, I mean, that's another story, but I mean, it doesn't matter. God's not interested in what you are outwardly. He doesn't care whether you make 15 decisions for Christ or you come here. He cares what's going on inside you. The religion inside is the only one important. And that requires integrity. It requires that you be honest with yourself at all times. That you don't keep going somewhere if it isn't a witness of truth in you. The only place I know of for sure where what I teach is taught is where the church is persecuted.
Like you said, Russia and the Middle East.
Well, not Russia anymore, because now it's prosperity gospel all over Russia. But at the time the church was persecuted, in China, in the Sudan, in other places around, in many of the Muslim countries.
Okay, where it was barred or banned, basically. Well, like the old Soviet Union, where you couldn't teach Christianity.
But anyway, it's not important. I don't know why. All I know is I have to be faithful to what I see. And I think I can prove it. That's why I studied so much. I was trying to find a loophole. And you think I'm kidding, but I really was. But, I mean, I think I know the Bible as well as anybody. And I every word of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, teaches this. And I don't know where people get that craziness. It's that they still retain, because the predicate of it wasn't their death.
You know, for me, the biggest example of that was accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Tell a Baptist that and say, show me where it says that. Show me. And they can't. Because
It's not in the Bible.
Campus Crusade of Christ.
Saved, always saved, not in the Bible.
Okay, well, let's get off of that.
It's not there.
I think they use that verse in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And
yeah, but wait a minute. You've got to read that right.
It's not.
Let's go to verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, there should be a that there, shall believe that in your heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Well, all conversions...
I'm just saying, I think that's what
Of course, that's part of it.
Yeah. All conversions are spiritual in the heart. They're not mental conversions. Oh, I accept this.
No, wait a minute. No, we're talking about, in the Greek language, there's something called location of sphere. And this specifically says if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead in your inner being.
Right.
Not that you believe or assent that he's something.
Oh, but I just said that. The conversion is in the heart, not in the intellectual.
Right. Okay.
Oh, I believe this intellectually. That's what the Mormons do. It's in your heart.
Well, anyway, I don't want to talk about other people.
Well, whomever.
We had a thing last week. When Pete wasn't here, we had Gus, who was visiting here from North Carolina, operated that machine, and he thought he had found the place where this is recorded, where we record these, and it wasn't. So if you don't mind, I'm going to review what we said last week, okay?
Okay.
We reviewed all of the signs that I'm not going to do that again.
Can we have a really 1 minute Reader's Digest of one thing? Because she just keeps bugging the shit out of me about it. While we have more than one baptism, every year we have baptism, and it's symbolic. I mean, it's not, you have to be baptized every year, but she just doesn't get that.
It's the same as any other of the sacrament. There's a baptism. The sacrament is a baptism. wine and the communion is about is a sacrament, and you don't just take the sacrament once. You don't just take the bread and the wine once. You do it, supposed to do it weekly because it's a mini Passover, and the baptism yearly is a reminder, a confirmation, or an acceptance that you're of your death and burial. It's just, it's not anything spiritual. It's for our benefit.
Well,
the burial, you were, baptism is burial. And if every year, it's important that we remember that we were buried, including our minds, so that we can come up in newness of life again.
Okay, is there
That's what they did every year.
Is there scriptural passages that talk about the early Christians that were baptized annually?
Yes, they baptized, in the Jews for centuries had baptized during this period called the Days of Awe.
Yeah, but they were Jews, they weren't Christians.
Listen. Every year, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they baptized.
The Jews.
When the Christians, they changed the time of baptism from Rosh Hashanah to the symbolic birth of the church at Pentecost. And there's every evidence, and a lot of the, go read Jerome or some of the early writings, there's a lot of evidence that they baptized annually, the same as the Jews did.
Well, that's Jerome I'm talking about in the King James Version, the scripture.
Well, I'll have to look and see.
Oh, okay, because I've never heard of that concept in any
Well, it's
sense.
Not important. Don't, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. There's
well, I mean, I just don't understand it, because to me, that negates you're born physically once, you're born spiritually once in the Spirit with Christ.
Yeah, but
after that, you never go back.
Yeah, but you're
and then
no, listen to me. Do you always remember that you're buried in baptism?
Well, yes, I know you're buried once. You're born once. You die once.
Yeah, but
you're
do you remember it
spiritually once?
Do you remember
and you
it?
Die once. Well, you never die once you're born.
No, I'm asking you. Do you remember? Did you know, for instance, when you were baptized, did you know that was your burial?
Actually, yes.
Okay, that you died.
Absolutely,
and
you
were buried.
That's the whole thing of the baptism. You go down in the waters, and you rise, and Christ lives in you.
Right.
That is the death in the baptism
and
the rising.
And you die. There's no more you.
Oh, well, that's absolutely, but I've got a whole lot of trespassing.
Okay.
Since it's no longer sin, it's trespassing.
But
so,
my point to you is that this is just something that, I think was done. I think I can prove to you it was done in the early church.
Well, I need to be proven out of this King James Version.
I've never looked that up.
I mean, seriously, because to me that
well, then don't do it. That's the point.
I don't understand why it's even taught. I've never even heard the concept before.
It's not taught. It's an opportunity if you want to be baptized,
well,
just
that's
as we told
that's
you.
That's what you take the communion for. Do this in remembrance of me, and that's it. It's not get baptized every year during whatever. And just because the Jews baptized, they weren't Christians as Jews.
Now wait till we study the next sign.
I can't wait.
Pisces. And you'll see there's two fish tied by a band.
You're right.
Oh, yes. They also kept...
I've already seen it.
Okay.
I just want it explained.
They were who was the first member of the Christian church? Let me ask you.
John the Baptist?
No.
I don't know. No, he was dead.
He was Abel.
Who?
Abel.
I thought Cain killed Abel.
That's the point. Read it. He's considered a prophet. He's the first member of the Christian church.
Okay.
And every man that saw Jesus in
That's
the sacrifices,
in
yes.
Okay.
Every man that saw Jesus in the sacrifices was a member of the Christian church. Abraham saw his day and was glad. I don't care if you want to get baptized or not. It's immaterial to me.
Well, it's immaterial to me if everybody in the room or on the planet wants to get baptized. It's about here.
Okay, that's fine. Then don't do it.
I'm not, because I don't understand why I need to. I was baptized as a young girl, and that was the death of me and the birth of Christ in
How's
my life.
How's that worked out for you?
I've done a lot of trespassing.
No, but you forgot that you died.
Well,
you forgot that it's no longer you that live. I'm saying to you that if you were baptized annually, you would have remembered.
I think every time I go to the Lord in prayer, I remember that. Why else would I be praying in Jesus' name?
This is something that we decided to do long time ago. Because
that's fine. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just trying to get a clarification on it based on the Bible.
Okay.
That's it. Period.
All right,
I have absolutely no criticism if everybody on the planet wants to get baptized. I just don't understand it.
You wouldn't accept the Didache, which was written by the 12 apostles.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a manual of discipleship that was allegedly written by the 12 apostles. In that, it talks about baptism manually.
Okay, well, that's what I'm searching for, is where is it in the King James Version that I can go and back with validity as this is it? Because before I came here...
Stop a minute.
Never heard of it.
Listen. In the Bible... The Bible assumes a whole lot of stuff because it was culturally there.
Right.
3/4 of the New Testament is about what Jesus did on the Feast of Tabernacles. And unless you understand the Feast of Tabernacles, you'll never understand those scriptures. But it doesn't say all that because it was assumed that the people that were reading it knew it. And they did. All the Christians for the first 150 years kept the feast, and so they all knew that.
Or 300.
And they still do.
Or 300 years.
No. It was stopped. Most of the Jewish relationship to Christianity was stopped, not with Constantine. It was stopped with Trajan, the emperor. He forbid anything Jewish in the Roman Empire. That's when the Christians stopped celebrating the Sabbath on Saturday. They began celebrating the Passover on the Feast of Ishtar, which is the Babylonian fertility goddess. They celebrated his birth. It's the Feast of Saturnalia, because they still wanted to be, but because everything was forbidden. Then, of course, in Constantine, and expanded it with bigness. But there's so much that the first century church did. And that's in the Bible. That all the details aren't in the Bible. That's why it took a tremendous amount of study to pull out what the first century church did. You couldn't possibly understand the Feast of Purim, for instance, if you just read the Bible. You couldn't understand the Feast of Rosh Hashanah if you just read the Bible. You can't really understand the Feast of Passover if you only read the Bible. You'd think it was some Jewish feast that they did back then. Because it was given. Yep. They lived it. And so they didn't have to keep saying, well, this is what this means. So you have to use a little intelligence rather than saying it's only in the Bible. The Bible was written for the people at that time.
It was written to believers, not non-believers.
Anyway, let's go on to something else. I'm getting bored of this. Not bored, but we...
I got another question if I can pose it, or you can go on to something else.
No, go ahead.
Well, if you say once saved, always saved, not forever, but then you die, and then your spirit, which lives on, still has the opportunity to accept the gospel, then how is it that if you're once saved, always saved, you lose that salvation, but yet if you die without the salvation, you can pick it up in the afterlife before the judgment?
Same
day.
Way that you did in either way.
Okay, I don't understand.
How many people have fallen from the mystery of God after they were born again? Millions.
We call them backslid.
Well, they're millions.
All right.
And they still have the opportunity. Same as non-believers. There's no difference. The human race is just God's sperm cells. Doesn't matter what you say you are outwardly. Nothing. It means nothing.
All right. What about... John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he loves whosoever believeth me shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Okay.
Are you getting bored?
No.
What about 1 John that says,
he knows it already.
Listen.
I'm not trying to win anything here.
No, listen.
Here.
What about 1 John? It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Say that again?
Go to 1 John, chapter 2.
This is amazing when you see it. No, I'm not laughing. I'm just smiling because we've gone through the whole scriptures before.
No, that's fine. We need to go through it again.
Obviously not. Great. John what?
1 John chapter 2.
Alright.
Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the...
Wait a minute. I just don't see it, John. Hello. Sorry, I'm ignorant. What is...
Okay, here's verse 15.
Love not the world.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Right.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Got it.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The word, it's two different words. The world in John 3:16 is the word cosmos, which means the adornment for the bride or the bride. God so loved the bride that he gave his son.
Okay.
The word here is any aspect of the world. God, the love of God is only centered in Jesus Christ. It's not sloppy agape thrown at will.
Okay.
You understand? It's two different words.
No, I understand it.
God so
it's
loved
two different
the
context.
God so loved the bride that he gave his son.
Not this earth full of spermatozoas.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to
I'm
who?
Done.
No, listen.
That's enough for tonight.
No, listen to me. Listen to me.
You're a seed just falling in the ground.
No, listen to me.
This is
what you do. Again, we got not just us here, and a lot of people here need to hear that stuff again, but we have a whole lot of people that are listening on this.
Were we recording, we would be...
You're recording now.
No, you said we don't need to record this, and we didn't.
No,
we did it. See the red light? We did start recording. Yeah, we
a long time ago when he started talking about free will.
Well, then I hope this brings to light some other people's questions.
It will.
Well, it does. That's why, again, you're Gary Buckner.
That's why he wants me to show up.
Well, that's right. No, listen. In morning Bible study, we have Gary Buckner. In Wednesday, we have you.
You just need to come in with a target on your shirt.
I guess.
Okay, go to Aquarius and see the third decon.
Let's see, that would be in the haze.
First Aquarius, it's in the
haze. Oh, yeah, they need to hear this. It's back in Genesis, it's in the beginning.
It's right after Revelation.
Okay, in Aquarius, everybody find Aquarius.
I haven't.
Okay.
The first decon of Aquarius was Pisces Australis, the fish right below.
Okay.
The second decon was Pegasus. And you'll have to listen. You'll have to listen to the tapes for those. And the third decon is Cygna, the swan. And it's one of the most interesting of all the signs. In all generations, in all peoples, the swan is the emblem of class, of poetic dignity, of purity, of grace. And in the early church, the swan, just as the dove was the representation of the Holy Spirit, the swan was the representation of Christ. Now, go to the Greeks and the Romans, it was held sacred, and it was to the god of beauty. We've studied a lot about the swan
is the picture of the resurrected Christ. In the Christ of Son of God on earth and Son of Man is best represented in Isaiah 53, and it has nothing to do with a swan. So listen to the way the Christ is described in Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of all men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's the Christ people are worshiping here, the one that's the role model and all that. And there's no beauty that we should desire him. But the resurrected Christ, his symbol is the swan. And I don't know how that got lost, because it's so beautiful. Now, look at this a minute. We could spend all hours on it, but I'm just going to give it a quick run. Watch in Aquarius the man pouring out the water. And the water, all of the water, is going directly into the mouth of the fish. You see that? Mm-hmm. Because the fish, we are made fishers of men. God, we are to be fishers of men. And we'll study that some more in the next decan, but the fish taken out of water would die unless it had the supernatural source of the living water from Jesus Christ.
And the fishers of men means spreading the gospel.
No, the fish are always in the. Well, that's another story. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
In the first century church, all of the Christians were called ichthys, and that's the fish. And the fish are the emblem of the church. Always have been. But here in this decan, we see that that fish, you would die without the constant source of the rivers of living water. Okay? Now, this... Watch in this Aquarius. Look how which way the water is pouring. You see it? It's pouring in the direction of the sun. Now look at the swan.
But how do you know that?
Where's the sun?
I'm a little lost on that.
Well, that's another story. I don't want to go. That's too complicated for tonight. Just.
Trust you, okay.
Don't leave us hanging out here trying to figure this out.
The swan is on the wing, the act of rapid flight. It's the star's name. It's called, and many of the stars in it are called, that give the name circling and returning. It seems to be flying down the Milky Way in the same general direction as the man pouring from the heavenly urn. It doesn't look that way on the map because it's one-dimensional. The principal stars which mark its wings and body form a perfect cross.
Yeah.
And the bird bearing the cross over the waters of life.
It's sometimes called the Northern Cross. Northern Cross.
Now,
this swan is the cross. I mean, when you look at it up in the stars, it looks like a cross.
The stars' names, some of the major ones, the star between the body and the tail is Deneb. And it's the Lord to come. And then the one in the tail, Azel, and who goes and returns. Another one in the tail is Fafash, glorious, shining forth. The one in the body is Sadr, Sadr, who returns as in a circle. And one in the tail is Adish, means flying swiftly. And another one in the tail is Arided. He shall come down, and Alberio, again, flying swiftly. Now, some of the myths give us a hint. Apollo's son, a handsome hunter, who in a fit leaped into Lake Canopy and was metamorphosed into a swan. Poseidon's son, an ally of the Trojans, who could with weapons, was strangled by Achilles, and who, when dead, suddenly took the form he was metamorphosed into a swan and flew off to heaven. Ares' son, killed by Heracles in a duel of death, was changed into a swan by his father. Now the whole image being that this mystery of the resurrected Christ revealed in the swan, flying in the same general direction as the waters of life, carrying this perfect cross, and it's one of the most beautiful crosses in the heavens. I mean, it's really neat. Yeah. The Southern Cross is clearer because it's the only thing in that deal, but it's the mystery of him, not just the resurrected Christ, but him, the resurrected Christ, carrying the cross. You can't taste of the rivers of living water. They're of no benefit to you unless you've accepted the cross. Yeah. That's why the power of God is the preaching of the cross. You have to, the predicate of preaching the cross is your death. New life that has nothing to do with you. So that's a thumbnail sketch of what we took us an hour and a half last week to talk about. Now, next we start the next sign. Excuse me. I think I'm allergic to something. I've never had allergies, have I?
I don't know.
It's not fragrance.
There's a lot of ragweed in here.
It's as that high, huge the pollen, ragweed the ragweed is as high as it's ever been. I mean, it's pretty high.
It is bad.
The next sign we're studying is Pisces. Let's just take a quick look at it. It's a strange symbol of two fish. One moving towards the living water, coming out of Aquarius. The other straight up, going, and it's tied, they're tied together by a band. Mm-hmm. Now just a hint, those two fish represent the church before Christ and the church after Christ.
Mm, wow.
And it gets better. Then I don't want to spoil it. But the decans of this are Cetus, Andromeda, and can't find them.
I
don't think they're marked on
here.
Isn't that
it?
In his head.
Let me give the deck. Okay, that's why I got confused. The decans are the band itself. One of them is the band holding the fish.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's Andromeda, the bride in chains. Another one is the king, Cepheus, not Cephas. Not Cetus, it's Cepheus, the king.
What about Cetus? You said Cetus a minute ago. Is that not part of it?
Cepheus. Cepheus. But I can't find him.
What about Cetus?
No, Cetus isn't part of it.
It's not part of it, okay.
No.
There's...
why can't I find... It should be right next
Perseus
to...
Perseus and Cassiopeia right above Andromeda.
No, I see that, but I can't find...
Right above Cassiopeia. Right toward... Touching the snake. It's right there.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Where?
In the center. Almost in the center of the circle.
Circle. See it, yeah.
Closer to the...
Oh, yeah.
You see his head on...
You got to turn it around.
Yeah.
Touching
upside down.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Huh? You see it here?
His right
hand. Yeah, but spell it.
He's got something in his left hand and a cloth.
It, it's, the name is alongside, and it's C-E-P-H-E-U-S. And it's the king with a crown, holding a scepter in his hand.
And a towel in his right hand.
Yeah. You see it?
The reason you can't read it is you're looking at it upside down.
All right. But that's what we'll start on next next week.
Oh, I see it. Now, finally. Okay.
So the band, Andromeda, and Cepheus are the three.
That's this one. Right.
And there's Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. Did you guys see the doctor?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to live?
Yeah, I think so.
For a while?
No, I just want to say, Sharon, I don't ever stop asking.
Okay? Oh, well, thank you, because I don't know anything. I'm trying to make some sense. I'm trying to contrast them to this new canvas of everything I hear here. It's nothing like I